Well, a friend of mine showed me a pair of shoes the other day. He told me that they were the best shoes he'd ever owned and that he's ever worn. He's never had running shoes quite like them, he said. But he said to me that he didn't pay a cent for them. He said he got them from his son. He said his son is what we call an influencer. He has close to 1 million followers on Instagram. And so the people send him things all the time in the hope that he will take a photo with their product, influencing others to buy their product. Okay, that's what he does. Now, people like personal recommendations, don't they? We know who to go to for plants. When we follow someone on Instagram, we're more likely to buy a product that they promote, especially if we trust what they say. My mate's son recently had a baby, and they were sent all sorts of things for their baby. Prams, bassinets, all sorts of things, all in the hope that these guys will take a photo, put it online, and that others will buy their products. Now, no doubt there are many people who are influenced by my friend's son. But the point I want you to see today is that we're all under influence by someone. Now, it could be an Instagram person that we follow, or it could be the leader of an organization that we're passionate to support. We're all under influence. And today I want to ask you, who's the greatest influencer in your life? Who has the greatest impact on who you are? Who do you listen to? Or more importantly, as we look at this passage in John 8, who's your father? Jesus spoke to the Jews and the Pharisees and told them that they're either influenced by the father of truth and light, or they're influenced by the father of lies and darkness. And Corinne made that very clear to us, didn't she? Yes. You want empty chocolates or full chocolates? Lies or truth? Who's your father? Now, as we look at this passage today, it'd be great for you to have your Bibles open to John chapter 8. This passage begins in verse 12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, what Jesus says, he once again fits into the feast that we mentioned last week, the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. We saw last week that, I don't know if you remember, that the celebration was about water and light. And last week we saw a part of the celebration which had to do with the water, where water was poured out onto the altar to remember God's provision of water as he struck the rock in Meribah in the desert. And this week Jesus says that he is the light of the world, the light. And at the end of the first day of the festival, what they would do, they would light these four golden lamps in a place called the Court of Women, and they would lift them up, and the people would sing and rejoice throughout the night with the city lit up with these lights. And it was a way for them to remember how God was in the cloud with them, that the light would lift and move, and they would get up and move with the light. This was a way for them to remember that God was always with them, that he'd never left them. And in the middle of them celebrating this festival, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is that light. We looked last week about looking back to what it was to remind them of. And it was to remind them of God's presence in the past. But now it's Jesus saying, "I want you to look forward. Look at me. I am the light of the world." As they look forward. Now, the Old Testament's filled with images of the Messiah who would come and be the people's light. And Jesus says, he is the light. Now, this isn't the only thing that Jesus claims in this passage. As we come into our first point today, I want you to see that Jesus claims a whole lot of things. So have your Bibles open. I'm going to quickly run through a number of verses in this chapter so we can see what Jesus actually says about himself. In verse 16 there, it says, "He stands with the Father who sent him." In verse 19, he said, "If they knew him, they would know his Father also." In verse 23, he told them that they're from below. That's the Pharisees are from below, but he's from above. The Pharisees are of this world, but Jesus is not of this world. In verse 28, he told them that when they lift up the Son of Man, they will know that Jesus is the one he claimed to be, and that Jesus does nothing on his own, but speaks just what the Father has taught him. In verses 31 and 32, he said that if they hold to his teaching, they really are his disciples, then they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. In verses 34 and 36, he also told them that everyone who is a slave to sin, but if the Son or Jesus sets you free, then you are free indeed. And in verse 51, he told them if they keep his word, they will never see death. And then the final claim in verse 58, he said that before Abraham was, I am. And with this, he claimed to be God. Verse 58. See, Jesus makes some very big claims about who he is. He's sent from another world. He's not of this world. He's sent from above, sent by the creator of the world. He tells them that he can set them free from their sin. If they hold to their teaching, they will be his disciples. And if they do this, they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Now, as you look at these things, I wonder if you have some compassion for the Pharisees and the Jews that argued with him. I mean, I think it's no wonder they argued with him. I mean, Jesus told the Pharisees and the Jews that they don't know God, that they don't know Abraham. They think they serve God and they think they are children of Abraham, but Jesus tells them that they're not, that they're children of the devil. No wonder they want to pick up stones and throw them at him. This is the religious elite. They're the ones who apparently know the truth. That's what they thought. I mean, remember last week. Oh, no, not last. Yeah, last week in John chapter 7, verse 15. The Jews even asked, how did Jesus get so much learning without even studying? They were the religious elite, and this guy, Jesus, was a nobody to them. I imagine if I was a Pharisee, I would have responded in the same way that these Pharisees and Jews have responded. I think it must have been really hard for them to listen to these words of Jesus. And I think today, even if we're honest, some of these things are even hard for us to hear and believe. And what I want you to see as we look at this point and the next, that Jesus explains that there are two fathers. One is the father of truth and life, and the other is the father of lies and death. The first is the God we read about who sent his son, Jesus, to earth to rescue us, the father of truth and life. But the other father is the father of lies and death, the devil, as Jesus says in verse 44. So what does Jesus say about the father of truth and life? Well, what Jesus says is that he is one with the Father. Jesus has been sent by God to earth. He says this a number of times, that he's been sent from outside this world. He only spoke what the Father taught him. He can do nothing without his Father, that God is with him always. And if we went back to John chapter 1, we'd be reminded that he even existed with the Father before the creation of the world. These are all things that Jesus claims about himself to show us that he's no regular guy. I wanted to say that he's no regular Joe, but that's not what we say here, is it? He's not like you and me. He's from God the Father. He's from above. He's a heavenly being that took on flesh. This is what he's trying to tell all those listening. He's telling the truth about his origins and his relationship with God the Father. But the trouble is that this truth about who he is really hard to understand and can be difficult to believe. And Jesus claims to be one with the Father. And it's part of the reason why we believe that Jesus is one person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The three correct statements about the Trinity in the Bible, when we add them up, don't make sense in some ways. You know, first we say God is three persons. Second, that each person is fully God. And lastly, that there is only one God. Now, if you're a mathematician, that doesn't add up, does it? It's hard to believe and it's hard to explain, and we think up ways of explaining it, but they all seem to fail in some way. And in some ways, I think that's great, isn't it? Because our God is much bigger than we can even describe. Jesus tells us time and again that he only speaks the truth. He only speaks what the Father has said to him. And that they will know that this is true when they crucify him on the cross. That's what he said to them in verse 28. Jesus makes some big claims. And some of them need us to take a step of faith and trust what Jesus says here is true. But it's not a step of empty faith, is it? It's a step of faith based on facts. The facts are that Jesus did die, and he did rise from the dead. We have certainty around his resurrection that gives us what we need to call on him in repentance and faith. That's what he calls each one of us to do today. He wants us to call God our Father, to believe the truth, to have a Father of truth and life, not lies and death. And so the question that we have here is he your Father? Is he your Father? Well, as we move on to the next point, the Pharisees and the Jews that day didn't like what they heard. They get so angry they want to kill Jesus. And they do this because Jesus says to them that their father is the devil. And as you look in your Bibles, you'll see that there's a big description of who the devil is. Look at verse 44 with me. Jesus says to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." See, Jesus says that he is the truth teller, and he wonders why they don't hear his language in verse 43. And he contrasts himself to the devil, who has no truth in him. The devil lies because that's his native language. Now, I know that for some of you, English is not your native language. You'll understand that it's hard to describe to someone what it means to have a native language. Now, as we learned Spanish for many years, over time, these to which Spanish came out grew and grew. We still have an accent in Spanish, believe it or not. And our kids laugh at us, just like we laughed at our parents who had accents. But when we spoke Spanish, both Corinne and I knew that it wasn't our native language. We grew to like it. We grew to understand it more and more. But even as time went on, English still flows a lot easier. English is who we are. It's what we know to be true of us. It's the language we use every day, and it just flows out. And it's the native language for many of us. Jesus says that when the devil lies, he speaks his native language. It just flows out easily, without even thinking about it. That's how our native language works, doesn't it? It just flows out without us even thinking. And sometimes we wish we could even pull our words back, don't we? It's the first thing the devil wants to do. Lies. He's the father of lies. And Jesus says to them, "You believed the lie. You've put your trust in the lies that your earthly father have taught you." They think they follow God, but Jesus says to them, "You don't listen to him, so they don't belong to him." You can see it there in verse 47. Jesus says, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." I'm sure some of us have encountered this problem as we've shared our faith with Jesus, with our friends and family. We've seen people who have believed the lies about Jesus, that he didn't rise from the dead, that he was just a nice man, that the Bible is just an old book that lots of people claim is true. You see, they reject all of this. Now, I'm sure that the Jews and Pharisees in this passage had similar thoughts. They wanted to reject this teaching of Jesus based on what they understood. They even say to him in verse 53, "Are you greater than Abraham?" A true statement that they were accusing him of claiming to be greater than Abraham, and he was, wasn't he? They said, "Who do you think you are?" See, they saw Jesus as the unschooled, ignorant person who somehow knew a lot about their religion, and they didn't understand how he knew so much. And in this conversation, Jesus calls them out. He wants to expose them for who they really are and what they really believe. And as we look at this passage, what we see is Jesus explaining the difference between genuine children of God and others. You see, genuine children of God are set free from sin's penalty. But Jesus says to the religious leaders, "You are still enslaved by it." Genuine children of God do the things that Abraham did, i.e. they listen to him, they read his word, and they follow what he says. But these leaders have no room for his words. Genuine children of God love Jesus. But these leaders plot to kill him. Murderers. They're children of the devil. Now, as you read this chapter, and I encourage you to reread it again this week, Jesus' argument is so strong that the Jews can only respond by saying that he's demon-possessed. There's something wrong with him. And you can see it there. They accuse him twice in verses 48 and 52. Jesus denies this accusation and tells them that he is God, that he is the great I am. He's the truth teller. Jesus tells them the truth about himself, yet their response is to lift up rocks and try to kill him. It seems like they've chosen who their father is. But they can't even win that one, because Jesus then slips away at the end, because it's not yet his time. And so we're left with the question for all of us to answer. Who's your father? Are you a child of the light? Or are you a child of the darkness? Do you follow Jesus and listen to his words? Do you read the Bible and listen to what Jesus has said to you? He is the light of the world. He's the one who shines truth into our lives. Or do you prefer to listen to someone else? Are the lies easier to believe than the truth? Now, I'm not saying it's easy to believe some of these things, but Jesus, as the truth teller, has followed up on all that he has said, and it has been proved to be true. In verse 28, Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Jesus told the religious leaders in advance that they would kill him on the cross. That's what happened. He told the truth. And he's offered eternal life to all who will keep his word. Jesus offers the solution to man's greatest need, to save them from death. The Jews rejected him. The Pharisees rejected him. So what about you? Are you going to reject him? Who's your father? Jesus said in verse 36 that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you listen to Jesus and love him, he will set you free. He's our ultimate role model. He's our great influencer. He's the one we should follow. We should desire to be like his followers. Just like the sign outside says, following Jesus. Being his disciples, give him a like. You won't remain enslaved to sin, but you'll be free. Don't be tempted to live in darkness and ignore Jesus. Don't believe the lies. Listen to the truth teller Jesus, who gave his life for you. And he says to you today to trust him. He came from God, who's enthroned in heaven, and he brought good news of great joy to all the people. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. What a wonderful way to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we can be set free. to remember that he came from his Father's side because he loved each one of us. He came to take away the punishment for sin. He took away death so that each of us can be free indeed. Don't remain in the darkness, but come to Jesus, come to the light and be free indeed. The best advice in the verse to underline in your Bibles this week is in verses 31 and 32. Where Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son, the light of the world, the truth teller, to come and rescue us from our sin. Help us to run to you. Fill us with your Spirit so that we may be people of the light, that we may know that we are free indeed. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.